Good morning. We're going to call to order the Education Subcommittee of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means, and we will be joined by our committee chair, Devlin, shortly, and other members will be arriving shortly as well. Let me announce that there is seating in the overflow room, which is H-170. Again, that's overflow seating in H-170. We are gathered for a public hearing on Senate Bill 5506, which is the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development. We're very, very pleased to see so many people with us this morning. And then, as is our policy, we will be hearing testimony first from those who have traveled 100 miles or more to attend this meeting, and you've indicated that on the sign-up sheet. We're going to call up three people at a time. You each will have about 2 minutes for your testimony if we are to get through all four of our sign-up sheets. And I'm going to call Pete, looks like Nevin, and I apologize if I'm not getting this name correct. Pete Nevin, Constancio Guevara, and Catherine Pavlish. Please come forward. Please be seated.
Are these on? Yeah.
Good morning, and Mr. Nevin?
Yes.
Please go forward.
Thank you, and greetings, Chair Gordley and other committee members. For the record, my name is Pete Nevin, and I reside at 17017 Highway 140 East, Barrie, Oregon. I am the owner of the Nevin Ranch, and I am the chairman of the Board of Education for Klamath Community College. For many years, the Oregon Institute of Technology operated as a 2- and 4-year degree-granting institution. Of particular importance to the Klamath community for its 2-year programs in the trades and other skilled occupations. When OIT ended the majority of its 2-year programs, it became a polytechnic, which is fine for the state of Oregon, but not as helpful for the local rural students that need technical training to keep up with our community's changing needs. That is why I got behind the movement to create a community college in Klamath Falls. It is great that our good kids can attend the Oregon Institute of Technology, but we need something for our average kids and struggling adults who want to make a better world for themselves and are doing so through our community college. Our community college is not very big, and it's certainly not very fancy. Furthermore, if it is allowed to build out, it still won't be very big and certainly will not be real fancy. Flashy is not a term that is generally used to describe Klamath Falls, and Klamath Community College will be no different. What our organization needs to do, and do as quickly as possible, is educate and train the individuals to prepare for high-paying occupations. This is what we cannot do now, and we need to do this. We have partnered with OIT for our welding program, and we partner with other schools and private universities for our education program. We partner with the Y for our recreation program. We partner with the local Carpenters Union and Habitat for Humanity for our carpentry pre-apprentice program. In the end, it is difficult for KCC to recruit when we don't have facilities and thus the programs that our district desires. What facilities we have renovated with dollars and debt being paid from our operating funds. We have run at the lowest cost per unit, under $4,000 per FTE in the state, but we still need your help. It is my hope that you will see to the common good of the state and to our district and help fund our operating capital and support funds. I guess we voted that the community college in because OIT dropped those programs, and I've been on the board since 96, and we've just about been 10 years in operation, and yet we have not had the opportunity to fulfill those programs that OIT dropped, because, and yet we've grown in size. We've jumped some hurdles of accreditation and stuff like that, but we're still not meeting the needs of our community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
The next party is... Yes, please proceed.
My name is Constancio Guevara from Woodburn, Oregon. And I worked in Agripac Foods, the Kennedy, in Woodburn for 10 years. I lost my job in 2001 due to the plant closure. I had to go back to school. So I went to the Jamaica Community College to learn more English. Later on, I was hired to work for the Woodburn Transition Center project temporarily. This was to help my 850 co-workers that were dislocated at this Canary. And this was to prepare themselves to get ready for other jobs, as I was doing it for myself. I got the opportunity also to get into an occupational skills training as a resource specialist to the Jamaica Community College. At the same time, I was taking advanced reading and writing classes. I was a resource specialist at the Woodburn Job and Career Center for 6 months. And then I got a permanent job as an outreach worker, advocate for the Oregon Human Development Corporation, where I've been for a year already. As I have had the opportunity to advance myself in life through the assistance of the Jamaica Community College, I would like to see that more people get the same chance. At the end, the only way for this to happen is by allocating more money to the college so it can work normally again. I work also as a part-time teacher assistant in an ESL class in Woodburn, night class, actually. And this term, I've been seeing a lot of reduction in classes offered. Before, students were attending 4 nights a week, 3 hours per night. Now, they are attending only 2 days and an hour and a half only. So that's a big change. So please consider the college to refund the college to prevent these major tuition increases and further program reductions. Thank you.
Thank you. Please proceed. Identify yourself for the record.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Dr. Catherine Pavlish, and I'm a full-time English instructor at Oregon Coast Community College. I'm here today to oppose any further reductions in funding for Oregon's community colleges and to ask you to increase funding for them for this coming year and future years. Because of last year's budget cuts, enrollments in Oregon's community colleges were down by 47,000 last year. That means a lot of Oregonians did not pursue their hopes and dreams for an education and a better life last year. That is an awful lot of broken dreams. Langston Hughes, a black American poet from Harlem, knew about broken and unfulfilled dreams. He wrote a poem called Dream Deferred, in which he asks, what happens to a dream deferred? Does it dry up like a raisin in the sun? Or maybe it just sags like a heavy load? Or does it explode? I have been a college advisor and a college English teacher for the past 21 years. And in that time, I have advised literally thousands of students, and I have taught personally almost 4,000 college students. From those thousands of students, I have heard a lot of dreams. I can't bear to think of all the students I have personally advised and taught and all their dreams being amongst the 47,000 that did not get fulfilled last year. And as Hughes, I ask, what happened to all those 47,000 people? Did they shrivel up like a raisin in the sun, as he says, or did they sag under their loads, not knowing how to improve or change their lives? Or worse, did they explode and cause harm to themselves or to others? I am here today because I do not want to see any more dreams be deferred or die. I am here on behalf of all of the people in Oregon whose hopes and dreams are alive and who come to our community colleges to raise themselves and their families' lives up to a better level. I am here especially on behalf of the students at Oregon Coast Community College, those I currently teach and those I will teach in the future. Some of them are here today, and here are their dreams. Katie Landry, her dream is to work with young adults and teach science. Naomi Landry, her dream has always been to teach and tutor children who are at high risk of dropping out of school and life. There are others who aren't in this room, so I won't read their names. Janine Archuleta, her dream is to finish college in criminal justice and help make our community a better place to live. Emily Koski, her dream is to graduate college and open a business to better and strengthen my community. Sheila Dederick, her dream is to major in biology and make our environment safe for generations to come. Leanne Davis, her dream is to graduate from OCCC and move on to a four-year college, which will be Multnomah Bible College, and from there she plans to get a degree in psychology and maybe a PhD. Jason Pruitt, for him, school is as much a spiritual pursuit as it is an intellectual one, so his dream is to uplift all of humanity. Mr. and Ms. Chair, members of the committee, we thank you for listening to these students' hopes and dreams. We all hope that when you deliberate over the budget, especially the line that says to decrease or increase community college funding, that you will remember these students and all the other 47,000 or more people who would like to come to our community colleges to pursue their dreams and to better their lives. We hope that you will help them to lift their lives, to dream and to thrive, and to become productive and positive members of our communities, and not to sag under their loads, or explode, or shrivel like raisins in the sun. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Tim Josie, come forward. Ian Botano. And Representative Dallum. Okay, do you have someone else with you, Representative? Okay. Please proceed.
And Mr. Chair, there are three of us from Tillamook. Is there...
Who is the third party?
Mark Labhart and Ed Armstrong.
Okay. Let's try Mr. Labhart first. Or Mr. Labhart, if you come members of the audience, we have an enormous number of people to testify here this morning. We only have a very short period of time, so I'm going to have to limit everyone to 2 minutes, and I'm going to have to be very strict on that, or I'm never going to get through these lists. So please proceed.
Who would you like to have go first?
Mr. Josie, Commissioner Josie, please proceed.
Thank you, Senator Devlin. It's good to see you, and Senator Gordley, and Representative Johnson. Served with all three of you. I was a product of term limits, served in the legislature for 8 years, and I've also been a county commissioner for over 6 years. Urge support of Senate Bill 5514, which will provide funds to assist with local funding for community college construction projects. Let me tell you a little bit about my family history with Tillamook Bay Community Community College, which I will refer to as TBCC. I graduated from Oregon State University and didn't have an opportunity to take a number of the classes that I'd like to have taken, so I've had a long history with TBCC of taking cabinetry, welding, and two or three computer classes. My wife, Carrie, graduated with an associate's degree from TBCC, and then she went on and received a Bachelor of Science degree from Portland. My son Christopher is 17. Next year he's going to start taking college courses at TBCC and then moving on to a four-year institution. And so Tillamook Bay Community College has enhanced the Josie family for a number of years. I believe that the job training is key to Tillamook County's economic recovery. However, TBCC has outgrown its facility. The college is located in a former funeral parlor, Lundberg and Sons, and that kind of dates me. The biology lab is located in the former embalming room. It's not large enough to accommodate the students who need science instructions. The building is made of thick concrete, and therefore it's very difficult, if not impossible, to expand the facility. With the new facility, TBCC will be poised to quickly adapt to the needs of prospective employers. We have an industrial port about 3 miles south of the city of Tillamook with ample shovel-ready land. We have an abundant workforce readily available, primarily because of our high employment rate, unemployment rate. TBCC could provide the needed training. It could offer programs that train more people to our county, in our county, for jobs in tourism and agribusiness. County residents would benefit a great deal from expanded higher educational offerings and job training programs that the college is not now able to provide. We in Tillamook County, through the commissioner's efforts, are in the process of providing high-speed and not a consortium, including the county commissioners, in providing high-speed fiber, which includes our courthouse, our medical facilities, and our educational institutions. This is going to enable TBCC to provide distant learning to the outlying parts of the county and connect to the rest of the world. So I will conclude by saying, I'm not finished, but I got your message. A strong public education system at all levels is vital to the future of our county and our state. With your help, TBCC can help to diversify Tillamook County's economy. Thank you.
Thank you. Before you proceed, I will also open the hearing on SB 5514. Please proceed.
Good morning. My name is Christina Ian Patino. My home is a small town about 45 kilometers from Manila, Philippines. I graduated from high school at the age of 16 and then entered a two-year degree program of computer science at a 5-8 technical institute. My goal was to find a job working with computers. I was happy to get hired by Samsung Electromechanics and get trained as a production operator. I was paid about $26 per week, a 6-day, 48-hour work week. But after 6 months, the contract was terminated for our whole team. This happens a lot in the Philippines because the company will not have to pay any benefits for the employees. I found it is very difficult to find a job in the Philippines. So I decided to come to the United States and take the electronic technician program at Chemeketa Community College. I have a passion to learn about new complex technologies. I am in my second term of electronics and I like best working in a team and analyzing circuits. My dream is to build something larger than myself. Chemeketa has a special program for international students which helps them to adjust the cultures here in America. They help me to choose courses and help me work with my schedule. I can always go to answer them and ask them questions or if I need any help. My goal is to get a good job with a good pay. If I learn the skills that Chemeketa is teaching in the electronic program, I am hoping that a company like Intel will give me a chance to work for them. I have heard that many other students at Chumeketa Community College who have graduated from electronic technician have gotten jobs from Intel. My hope and dream is my associate's degree from Chumeketa will help me to get a good job. I have 5 younger brothers and sisters, and I want to be able to help them pay for a college education. Please support Chumeketa Community College. Thank you.
Thank you. Please proceed. Identify yourself.
Thank you, Senator Devlin. My name is Mark Labhart. I'm a Tillamook County Commissioner, and you have my written testimony, so I will, in less than 2 minutes, just summarize that testimony. And I might say I spilled some coffee on my testimony, so I will definitely limit some of it because I probably can't read the rest of it. So I ask for your support of Senate Bill 5514, and the reason we ask for you is to assist rural Oregon in community college construction. And what I mean by assist us is we are more than willing in Tillamook County and Tillamook Bay Community College to go for a bond levy, which has strong support, I believe, in our county to build a new community college. And with that, with your financial help, we can make that bond levy come true. Tillamook County is a rural county, as you well know. We're fueled by tourism, natural resources, and small business. 60% of our citizens earn less than $25,000 a year. For 24 years, our college has been able to provide valuable higher education services, as Commissioner Josie said, out of an old funeral home and an elementary school. Our college is in desperate need of updated labs and new technology so that more of our rural students, those that can't afford to go to a higher education, a state college, can stay at home where they can afford to attend a small rural community college and get a higher education to get family wage jobs into counties like Tillamook and become productive citizens. With your help, rural college, rural funds, we will be more productive in doing that. We are willing to step forward and assist you. And if you provide the cost share funds, we're willing to step forward with a bond to help you. And so I ask for your support of Senate Bill 5514. Thank you very much.
You. Commissioner Josie, who was the other party that was with you?
Ed Armstrong.
Okay. Thank you very much. Could Mr. Armstrong come forward and then Mr. Dallum, Representative Dallum, and the person with you? Please proceed and limit yourself to no more than 2 minutes.
For the record, my name is Ed Armstrong. I live a resident in rural Tillamook County in the thriving metropolis of Hebo. I represent today the three K-12 school districts that are very much in support of the efforts of Tillamook Bay Community College. As Commissioner Josie and Commissioner Labhart indicated, that we have a lot of partnerships in Tillamook County, and we are willing to step forward as a K-12 system to assist in that. Part of the linkage that we have talked with the community college president about is our K-12 system is moving towards a high-tech natural resource theme for our students. The college represents hope for our K-12 students. Having lived in the county for about 10 years now, I can tell you that in rural Oregon, oftentimes students do not see the hope that a community such as Tillamook County provides them. We are, as a K-12 system, trying to provide those systems of hope that gives them a place that not only raises family wage jobs, but provides them an education that is equal to the other places in our state. I will be brief. I'll try to be brilliant. But the truth is that the partnership that we have forged for many years with Tillamook Bay Community College as a K-12 system has been dynamic. But we need additional support in a new facility to get the technology and the workforce skills that are so needed in places like Tillamook County. Thank you.
Please proceed, Representative.
Senator Devlin, members of the committee, thank you for the courtesy of allowing me to testimony in a timely manner. I, as everybody that comes to this desk, am in support of Senate Bill 5514, which is capital construction for community colleges. I'm going to give you just a brief, less than 2 minutes, I hope, Mr. Chairman, overview of what our community college looks like, and then I'm going to ask Susan Huntington, who is represents our Chamber of Commerce, to give you more details, and I think between the two of us we'll stay under 4 minutes. Our community college, through condemnation, has been driven back to their present home, which is a hospital, which was the state tuberculosis sanitarium, to give you some notion of what our community college facilities look like. Our community has formed a partnership. We passed a bond. We have invited Homeland Security. We've invited 911. We've invited the community of Hood River to participate. And the full partnership in capital construction would ask that the state join us in this venture. Susan will give you more details.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Devlin and members of the committee. I am Susan Huntington from the Dalles Area Chamber of Commerce, and my comments will be specifically about Wasco County, even though Columbia Gorge Community College entails Hood River County as well. I want to speak about Wasco County because I want you to have a face of the people that rely on the Columbia Gorge Community College. We've been a timber-based economy, a manufacturing-based economy, and, of course, agriculture. As you all are well aware, Wasco County has shared the dubious honor of having some of the nation's highest unemployment over the past few years. In trying to look at the people that we represent and the future that we hope to offer to them, we realized in community leadership that we had to look for some solutions to the future that would require two things. First of all, to retrain the workforce that we have, a good workforce and one that wants to work but is having a hard time finding placement in today's job and workforce. We also recognize that as poor as we may be in Wasco County, it was up to us to do everything within our control to build the infrastructure on which we could provide some of these new jobs and work opportunities. Many of you are familiar with the fact that Google recently announced that it would be coming to the Dalles primarily because of the local investment that was made in our fiber optic project. Now comes the task to us to provide that workforce so that the people in Wasco County don't have to move to Portland so they can go to school, but so they can stay there and get the training for the jobs that we are now going to be able to offer in the Dalles, Oregon. I've heard it said on the grapevine, because I am involved in the state Chamber of Commerce, that it's all right if Columbia Gorge Community College doesn't get capital construction money from you, because we just passed an $18 million bond this last fall. And I'm here to tell you that that's unacceptable. Just because our 20,000 people have chosen to tax themselves to do our part to match with some federal training money that we've gotten, we cannot allow that excuse to overlook us yet again for the critical capital construction needs that we have. Our community college has turned away over 1,000 students because we don't have the space, the pure space, to teach them. And again, that means our people are leaving in order to get the training. It is absolutely critical that we have the state's support for the funding of the $10.8 million for Columbia Gorge Community College. It's critical to our economy. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. Thank you, Representative Dowell. The next three parties are Debbie White, Dwayne Tucker, and Bill Hall. Please proceed and limit yourself to no more than 2 minutes.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, thank you for this opportunity. My name is Bill Hall. I'm a member of the Lincoln County Board of Commissioners. I want to talk to you just a bit about how Oregon Coast Community College will benefit from SB 5514. The college was formed 18 years ago, and it's really accomplished some remarkable things. In its infancy, it primarily offered personal enrichment classes, but it now offers a full range of college and career prep tracks, including a first-in-the-nation aquarium science program. Its Small Business Development Center is one of the most active in the state, and as our local school district has been forced to trim its programs, more and more high school students have been turning to the OCCC offerings to help round out their secondary school experience. I think this would be remarkable enough by itself, but for me, it is more impressive when you realize the conditions in which Oregon Coast's faculty and students have had to work. I wish you could visit the OCCC main campus in Newport. If you could walk the halls of that building, which in the past has housed a furniture store and a tavern, you'd find rows of desks against the walls. Why? There's no place else to put them. With the exception of the current facility in Lincoln City, which, by the way, is in a tsunami inundation zone, the college owns none of its facilities. They're all rented or leased. These are spaces not designed for education. Most cases, they don't have adequate space, and some don't meet the requirements of the Americans with Disabilities Act. Leaders in Lincoln County have recognized the importance of OCCC to the greater well-being of the community. That's why our Economic Development Alliance placed funding for construction of college facilities on its list of top 10 economic development priorities for this 2005 legislative session. That's also why institutions like the OSU Hatfield Marine Science Center and the Oregon Coast Aquarium are forging stronger working relationships with the college. But it's not just leaders of Lincoln County who have acknowledged the college's importance. The people of the county have as well. Last year, despite our shaky local economy and general anti-tax sentiments, the county's voters approved $23.5 million in bonds to construct permanent facilities for the college in Lincoln City, Newport, and Waldport. Approval of SB 5514 will allow the college to provide needed space for both professional technical training and college transfer programs. As a local elected official, I know budgets are very tight right now, but I really believe this is an investment we need to make in ourselves and in our future. Thanks for your time.
Please proceed, and I can remind everyone that if they have a cell phone, please turn it off. Please proceed.
Good morning, committee, Chair Devlin. My name is Dwayne Tucker. I am a current student at Klamath Community College in Klamath Falls, Oregon. I'm a mid-40s student. I was a truck driver for 25 years, a productive member of Oregon's economy until a back injury sidelined me, and I haven't been able to work with my body since. Now, if I want to do anything, I have to do it with my mind. Well, if I was to have a battle of wits with somebody, I'd lose. This is why I'm going to school. I cannot go to school in some place that is not funded. Klamath Community College is one of the most outstanding small colleges for somebody like me getting back into the swing of things. Imagine my shock when I found out that there's no longer a library. It's called an LRC, or Learning Resource Center. It's no longer called a gym. It's called a health and fitness center. It's no longer a student hall. It's called the Commons. It's no longer a student union. Is not a labor movement. It happens to be a union for students, for organization. And a lab has nothing to do with Bunsen burners and beakers anymore. This kind of mentality for somebody of my age coming back in and trying to learn is very encouraging when the school says, we want you. We want you to learn. And if you can't learn, or if you're not willing to learn, we still want you because we encourage you. I was not sure whether I would be able to learn. Now I know I am, and it's because of Klamath Community College that I have the desire now to go on and become an educator. Thank you.
Please proceed.
Senator Devlin, committee, it's an honor to be here today. My name is Debbie White, and I have a story, short two-minute story to tell you. It began in 1994. I was on the welfare system for many, many years, and I received a letter from Adult and Family Services that the pilot program of Life Skills, or Jobs Plus, was starting, and I was told that I wouldn't have my benefits unless I participated. Well, being on the welfare system, the benefits was all I could think of. I was unable to do anything else with my life at the time. So I went ahead and I went to Oregon Coast Community College, who was partnering at the time with AFS, and went into a life skills class and a change of life. In that life skills class, there's a woman named Jan Adams, and she taught me that I could find a job, that I did have worth. OCCC provided the training for me to be able to get beyond my failures. I was able to, with that training, not only get a job through the Jobs Plus program, but eventually was hired by Oregon Coast Community College. I have worked there for 10 years. I will have my 10-year anniversary in August. And it has been a journey of joy for me to go from a welfare system to self-sufficiency. I couldn't have done it, and I believe this truly in my heart, without the help of Oregon Coast Community College and their retraining programs. So if someone comes up to you and asks you, why fund community colleges? What benefit does it have for my community at large? You can say, well, ask Debbie White over in Walpole. She'll tell you. And she'll tell you she's found herself, that she's found her dreams. And Eureka, I have found myself again. I've found my dreams. And I believe that a cut in funding can and will end the hopes of many others who are trying to fulfill their dreams and self-sufficient life. So please fund community colleges for the betterment of their lives and the betterment of our communities. Thank you.
Thank you all. Audience, you're going to notice one of my talents and one of my lack of talents. I won't tell you about my talent, but my lack of talents is pronouncing names. First one is easy. Ricky Wood, Charles Sekafetz, I'm probably, and a friend of mine, Eduardo Angulo. Is Eduardo back there? Okay. We'll go on to Ron Opitz. Mr. Opitz, are you? Please proceed.
Hi, my name is Ricky Wood, chairman, members of the committee. I took a job in the food service industry straight out of high school, and although the industry allowed me to provide for myself, I never considered it my career choice. For 18 years, I worked in kitchens before I decided I needed a change. I explored my interests and decided on a career in electronics. I enrolled in college full-time in winter in 2004. Currently, I reside on the coast in Lincoln City. Although Oregon Coast Community College is a fine school, the small campus it has provides a limited amount of classes. In order to receive the necessary training I needed for an electronics degree, Chemeketa Community College was my only real option. To accomplish this, I commute from the coast and take online classes whenever possible. Thanks to the program and instructors at Chemeketa, in a short time I've been able to gain the skills and knowledge to be successful in the electronics industry. I received a job offer upon graduation from Intel, paying a third more than I've ever made as a cook. The thought of making a living without a spatula in my hand is an exciting prospect. The knowledge that I am about to embark on the career of my choosing is also very satisfying. Without community colleges, stories like mine would not be possible. The affordable tuition and accessibility has allowed me to change my career. If tuition was much higher, with gas prices, the change would not have happened. In order to rebuild the Oregon economy, high-tech industries are needed. Community colleges trains Oregonians to work in those businesses. I consider myself very lucky to have Chemeketa Community College as an option. I'm sure that current and future students who live in nearby rural areas feel the same. Thank you very much for letting me testify.
Chairman Devlin and the members of the committee, good morning. My name is Charles Sekafetz. I'm a graduate of Chemeketa Community College's Electronics Program. I'm presently employed at Chemeca Community College as the industrial electronics instructor and the program chair for networking and electronics technologies. I could not have imagined my life without the benefit of the education I received at Chemeca Community College. Since my graduation, I have been gainfully employed in the electronics industry in Oregon. It has provided a means to raise a family, as well as attain a lifelong goal of teaching. I am able to help others in the same fashion that I was helped by providing them the tools and the knowledge that will provide a stepping stone into a new future. I have seen new students graduate from our program who are once timid and shy become leaders in their fields. Students who are once looking at the grim possibilities of life to become productive and needed employees in our industry. Single mothers who have began a new life and have given hope and encouragement to their own children. Students starting a new career, advancing quickly, and due to their skills and work ethics, become respected and proud community college graduates. Our community college's system is not just about putting people to work and providing a larger tax base, but changing lives of our students to give them hope and a means in which they can accomplish their goals. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair Devlin, members of the committee. I'm Ron Opitz, Executive Director of the South Coast Economic Development Committee. I live at 619 South 11th in Coos Bay. And I'm here today to testify on behalf of Southwestern Oregon Community College. The college, in addition to serving over 14,000 full-time and part-time students, is also an asset for the community in the role of economic development. Repeatedly, the college has stepped forward and offered its services to help us recruit business. In the past, when we were recruiting 800 support, which is a call center, the college stepped forward and developed a program where, with over 25 employees, they offer up to 1 year training for those employees to assist the employer in developing a local workforce and establishing their business. That business, which is now owned by Affiliated Computer Services, employ over 500 people in the South Coast region. In addition, when Bandon Dunes, a world-class resort, decided to develop in Coos County, again, the college stepped forward and created training opportunities for that employer. However, it's not just a benefit to employers and an asset for employers. It's also important because it's an opportunity for the people who live in Coos County to develop additional skills. After enduring over 20 years of a downward spiraling economy, it's important that we use all the assets available to offer opportunity to those people. We're now in the middle of an $800 million worth of economic development projects that are evolving around the region. And those projects offer family wage jobs. We would like to say that we have the community college to continue as our partner and to offer that asset of employee training and training to our citizens of the South Coast to give them an opportunity to develop skills and proudly support their families and children. It's because of that that I encourage you to vote favorably for Senate Bill 5514. Thank you very much.
Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
Eduardo Angulo, Levi Herrera, and Dick Leslie. Again, please limit yourself to 2 minutes. Eduardo, please proceed.
Yes. Good morning, members of the committee, Chair. For the record, my name is Eduardo Angulo. I am the chairman of the Salem Kaiser Coalition for Equality. The Salem Kaiser Coalition for Equality is formed by 11 community organizations here in the Willamette Valley, starting with Mano Mano Family Center, 100 Good People, PECUN, our farm workers union with over 5,000 members, CAUSA, the Pro-Immigrant Rights Coalition of Oregon, Latinos Unidos Siempre, our youth organization, Salem Kaiser NAACP chapter, the Salem Kaiser NAACP youth chapter, Village Elders, Willamette University Metro students, bilingual and migrant parents, advocacy group, and Citizens for Livable Communities. We are also supported by the Oregon Commission on Hispanic Affairs and Oregon Commission on Black Affairs. 6 years ago, in the spring of 1999, the community organization leaders that later that year became the Salem Kaiser Coalition for Equality went to Chemeketa Community College asking for changes to better serve our Latino, African American, Native American, and economically disadvantaged youth. According to the statistics, our minority youth are the most likely to need the adult basic education and 2-year specialized skills degrees that community college offers, many on their way to become ready for a 4-year university. What are our communities going to do with all the minority and poor students who are either dropping out or graduating with the lowest scores? In the past 5 years, Chemeketa Community College has responded well to the needs of the most needed students in our communities here in the Willamette Valley. Over the years, thousands of our minority youth have taken advantage of the affordability of enrolling in our local community college to get their college education. I am sure that is the case in other communities across Oregon. There is one big problem. As the minority and economically disadvantaged youth enrollment in our community college across Oregon keeps rising, the tuition to take classes has substantially gone up. Meanwhile, the availability of different classes to be able to graduate has gone down because of increasing budget cuts in the past 4 years, while there has been a substantial reduction in the Oregon Opportunity Grants for economically disadvantaged college students. I urge the Ways and Means Committee on Education to please find a way to finance the $440 million that our community college needs for the biennium 2005-2007 to properly educate our minority and economically disadvantaged Oregonians. Our community's future depends on it. A vote against this funding is a vote against the minority community in Oregon. Thank you.
Please proceed.
Thank you. My name is Levi Herrera. I'm a former Chemeketa Community College student. I'm also interim co-director of programs and services at the Mano Mano Family Service Center. And I'm here to offer my support on behalf of Oregon's community colleges. Not all students in Oregon are lucky enough to attend a 4-year institution straight out of high school. I know I wasn't. I come from a low-income family, and I was lucky enough to get into Chemeketa to enjoy the benefits of the programs and services that they offer. Ever since I graduated from there, I've always said that to me that is an example of an institution that's really striving to be inclusive, to reach out to all students from all socioeconomic backgrounds, and I'm really proud to have been at that institution. So for that, I'm here to offer my support, to encourage you to do the work necessary to offer financial support for other students that are coming up, low-income students, minority students, immigrant students that want to better themselves as members of the state. I know in difficult times we must make cuts, but I feel it's our moral responsibility to make education accessible to everybody in our state. To do anything less than that would be, in my personal opinion, a shame. We need to make sure that we make it accessible, not just from K-12, and we cannot give everybody a free ride through college. I wish we could somehow make it easier for everybody to attend college, but if we can make it just a little bit more accessible, any budget cuts puts that in danger. And I know we all support education. It would be irrational or mean-spirited for a public official not to support education. But all we can do as community members is to come and tell you what our interest is, what we hold dear for in our community, and what your job should be is to find ways of keeping those services there. Thank you for your time.
Please proceed.
Good morning, Chair Devlin and members of the committee. My name is Dick Leschley. I live at 93581 Bay Park Lane in Coos Bay, Oregon.
on the other South Coast here, the Bay Area. I own and operate Yellow Cab Taxi in Coos Bay, have for 19 years. I'm currently president of the Bay Area Chamber of Commerce. Our membership exceeds 650 businesses and individuals. And one of the reasons for our, I think, growing and energetic membership is our partnership with Southwestern Oregon Community College. Mr. Opus has mentioned partnership that in workforce training. What I want to talk about is small business. I am a small businessman. We started in 1986. A partner and I purchased a bankrupt cab company with two taxis. She handled the office, I handled operations, and it worked very, very well until she died in 1988. My formal education stopped in 1965 when I graduated from Cottage Grove High School. I didn't know how to keep the books. I didn't know how to market. I didn't know how to handle personnel. I was the HR, I was the marketing, I even did the bathrooms. So it was a very, very small operation, and I noticed in the paper one day in mid-1988 that there was a night seminar, I don't even remember the right term for it, on how to keep your books. If you're operating out of a shoebox, come and see us, Southwestern Community College. And that began a relationship that continues to this day. Shortly after 1988, about 1992, we were invited to participate by the Business Development Center in their first small business management class. We attended monthly meetings for the next 2 years, which, and I'll stop there. But I would urge money because it's an investment. I want money. Thank you.
You made your point. Thank you very much. The next three, Paul Bages, Bob, looks like it could be Baldwin, and Michael Dembrow. Please proceed and limit yourself to 2 minutes.
Good morning, Senator Devlin, members of the committee. My name is Paul Bages. I'm here on behalf of Wachovia Corporation to talk about the impact that Chemeketa Community College has had on Wachovia's corporation to locate our newest facility right here in Salem. Just briefly, Wachovia is currently the fourth largest bank holding company in the United States and employs more than 100,000 employees worldwide. About 18 months ago, our company decided that we needed a West Coast facility. Came up with a list of 100 cities, narrowed that to 5, and out of the 5 chose Salem as the place where we wanted to do business. From the very beginning when we arrived in Salem, Chemeketa played a critical role in, one, getting us to make the decision to relocate our business here, and then more importantly, ensure that we were successful upon arrival here in Salem. I'm not sure today that had Chemeketa not been involved in this process that we would have relocated this facility. Certainly, SEDCOR played a critical role along with local and state government, but Chemeketa is really, in my mind, the deciding factor as to why we chose to locate in Salem. Some of the support that they provided us were training space, where we were able to train 300 of our teammates prior to us building our facility, temporary office space for assessment, and then also space for us to hold job fairs and career fairs in order to hire our teammates. But the thing that I think Chemeketa most importantly has provided us is with a trained, well-educated job force. To this point, we have already been able to hire 500 teammates here in Salem and currently have a payroll in excess of $15 million. So Chemeketa and the entire community college organization in this state plays a critical role in the economic development for this state, and I hope you won't forget that in making your decision on the budget this year. I would like to personally go on record in support of the $440 million figure to make sure that no further cuts in programs or tuition increases in the community college organization. Thank you.
Thank you. Please continue.
Thank you, Senator Gordley, my senator, Chair Devlin, members of the committee.
My name is Michael Dembro. I teach at Portland Community College. I teach English, have done for nearly 25 years at the Cascade campus. I'm also president of the PCC Faculty Federation, which represents the nearly 2,000 full-time and part-time faculty and academic professionals at the college. I'm also treasurer of AFT Oregon, which represents community college faculty and staff at colleges all over the state, from the largest PCC to some of the smallest, Oregon Coast, a couple of my colleagues here, and Columbia Gorge, etc. I have prepared remarks, and I've set them aside. You can read them. I would encourage you to. On the drive down here, I was thinking about this new workforce of the 21st century that we hear a lot about, and I was thinking that that workforce is currently living in my Writing 121 class that I had yesterday. I have students who are in their teens, in their 20s, in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and they are from all over the globe, from every socioeconomic condition you can imagine, level of preparation. I have ex-offenders, recovering addicts, students from Latin America, from Asia, from Africa, etc. And that room for 90 minutes twice a week, it really is the American dream. And these students, despite the variety of their backgrounds, are all going to succeed. I'm not going to let them fail. Just last week, I met with them outside of class for 8 hours, one-on-one, and let them know that failure will not be tolerable. They're going to pass. They're not going to pass. They're going to succeed. And that much, I think, I can control to a great extent, but I can't control what happens to them after my class. Will they be able to get the next class in the sequence? Will they be able to have an instructor who's there for them on a full-time basis as I am? With our current funding problems at the college that have been going on for several years now, that is becoming increasingly unlikely. Their chances of getting a full-time teacher are no better than 50-50 at Portland Community College right now. If you look at the handout that was just passed out, you'll see at the back the list of cuts that are being proposed currently at PCC, and as well as cuts that have occurred over the last couple of years. And you'll see that these are cuts that cut to the very core of our curriculum: English, math, anthropology, and crucial support programs like English as a non-native language, professional technical programs being downsized or entirely eliminated. Without the adequate level of funding, this is what we're facing. You can just imagine what the atmosphere is on our campuses right now. It is very, very difficult. And so, you know, I would say that our students individually are very powerful. They're leading very complicated lives. It's amazing what they're able to do just to come to class. But they're also very fragile. And not being able to get the classes that they need, not being able to get the instructors that they need, they are facing the failure of the American dream. Or as my colleague from Oregon Coast said, that their dream will be deferred. We cannot allow that to happen. And so we look to you for leadership in treating these students as the first-class students that they are and not as second-class members of the education continuum. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Bob Baldwin. I'm on staff at Lane Community College. My parents were migrant farm workers. My high school education stopped at eighth grade. When I was 19, I decided I wanted better than a minimum wage job for the rest of my life. I relocated to Eugene, where we had lived picking green beans. I knew there was a good university there. I tried a term. Didn't work. I didn't have the skills needed to survive in the university setting. So I went to Lane Community College, where they had the support services that I needed. I did my 2 years at Lane Community College, went on back to the University of Oregon, finished a bachelor's degree, went on to Portland State, finished a master's degree in taxation, went on to pass the uniform CPA exam, did a couple of years in estate planning, decided that it would be better for me to return to Lane Community College as staff, because that's my way of dedicating myself to helping the next generation of students. I took a substantial cut in salary doing it. Certainly, I'd have been better off financially to be a corporate or public accountant. But I feel that the community colleges provide an opportunity that isn't matched anywhere else in our society. What I'm asking you to do today is to support that same mission, to join me in supporting the community college students of the next generation and fully fund the $440 million that the community colleges need in order to avoid turning away students, either because we raise the tuition to the point that they can't afford it or because we shut down the programs that they need to be able to survive. Thank you.
Thank you all. Now we will have... Princess Eisen.
Mr. Chair, while the panel is coming up, yes. I'd like to announce that on tomorrow, Wednesday, the full Ways and Means Committee will meet at Portland Community College Cascade Campus from 6 to 8 p.m. Portland Community College Cascade Campus, and again, that's tomorrow.
And then Sherry Cummins. And also Maria Guadalupe Marquez. If you could have all of your students just come across, or okay, and please limit yourself to 2 minutes.
Mr. Chair, committee, and community members, my name is Sherry Cummins. I currently chair the Oregon Coast Community College Foundation Board. I'm also a vice president and area manager for Bank of the West. I'm a volunteer. I'm a native Oregonian, a member of Lincoln County for 14 years, and I'm also a mother. All these things have shaped why I'm here and why I have the belief that I do in the importance and value of education. It brings and builds economically strong communities. Why would an economically distressed community like Lincoln County pass a $23.5 million bond to build a community college campus? It is because Oregon Coast Community and Lincoln County knows and appreciates economically who we are, where we came from, and where we must go to be successful. Socioeconomic impact that the college and the community college specifically has is tremendous. Actually, the students say it much better than I do. I have an example of our youngest graduate. He graduated last year at the age of 17. He started at the age of 14. He graduated high school and got his AA degree the same year. He couldn't get enough at the local high school. Community college was able to fill that gap. A single mom fleeing an abusive marriage. Community Coast Community College was her lifeline. Being able to start at the community college level made education affordable, and attending school locally allowed her to work and volunteer in her community as well. As a woman achieving higher education to improve life for herself, her daughter, and her community, she believes strongly in Oregon Coast Community College's mission fulfillment in meeting her goals because Oregon Coast Community College is answering our needs. We have someone who had a full career and then came back to our Oregon Coast Aquarium Science Program, the signature one. Here is a college responding to the economic needs of students while providing industry with an experienced, well-educated worker. Today's working student can easily become tomorrow's innovator, bringing creative solutions to a beleaguered economic sector. In conclusion, I'll skip the rest. And in conclusion, my summary, as an employee, as a mother, as an involved community member, Oregon Coast Community College offers alternatives where there are few. Oregon Coast Community College is positioned in a strategically important area. We have our signature aquarium science program. We have the Marine Hatfield Center. We have OSU's second biggest campus, and we have the aquarium science. We are poised for economic growth that will not only help Lincoln County, but our entire state to bring to the entire West Coast what Woods Hole or Scripps Institute has on the East Coast. We have that capability in Newport with the marriage of all those wonderful things. So the extra matching funds that this committee could provide to us would help not only help our local community, also our larger state economy and community as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Hello, my name is Princess Essien, and I'm from Astoria, Oregon. I just want to speak about the importance of community college. I'm not that old. I'm only 20. I will be 25. And when I first got out of high school, I got a good job. So I was like, ooh, you know, I thought I was doing good for myself. But then I got laid off, something that I couldn't control. And I knew that at this point in time that I needed to go to school, because there's no, unless I wanted to work at Burger King or McDonald's, I wasn't going to make it. So I found out about Job Corps. And then through Job Corps, I found out about Clatsop Community College, which I currently attend right now. Clatsop Community College has been wonderful for me. I didn't know how I was going to fund college. They were able to provide me with financial aid. I've turned my life completely around. Currently, I'm in Phi Theta Kappa, the Honor Society, 4.0 student. I'm doing great. I'm in the nursing program. Next year, I'll be going to OHSU to become a registered nurse. And there's no way that I could have did that without the help of a community college. And to cut funding is like cutting my life support off, or anybody's life support off. And I feel that any money should go to community colleges. Cutting it off would be, like I said, I don't even want to think about my sister who's coming up and what she would do if there's no funding for community colleges. I'm basically the only one in my family who's been to college and will complete college. And to me, that's very, it's personal. You know, it touches me, and I want everybody to be able to achieve their goals, and cutting funding for community colleges would be absolutely ridiculous. I don't think anybody wants to see their kids or even their family members working at McDonald's or trying to work paycheck to paycheck. It's no life. So I'm here to fully support funding for community college and, like here I'm saying, represent class of community college, because they're a little college, and any money helps them to do anything. Currently, we have so many teachers that are going to be laid off to where that I couldn't even finish my nursing prerequisites because they're cutting out the teachers that teach the classes for nursing for me to go to a four-year college. So, like I said, I just thank you for listening to me and just support our community colleges.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Please proceed and introduce all of your students. Or not by... Sorry. not student by student, but just let us know who's...
Just the ones here?
Yes.
Or all of them?
Well, the ones here. The ones here.
My name is Maria Guadalupe Marquez. I'm from Mountain Free Water. I am hired by the ESD, by the Umatilla-Morrow ESD, and I am currently teaching in Mountain Free Water School District. I am here as a former student of Blue Mountain Community College, and I brought 9 students with me, including, in addition to my 2 children. Where are they? Okay, first I have Miguel Garcia, Miguel Castañeda, Francisco Saldana, Janelli Ibarra, Cruz Marquez, my 9-year-old son, Jenny Uribe, Rosa Diaz, Richard Duran, Lorena Campos, Gloricel Campos, and Carla Marquez, my 14-year-old daughter. I am here on behalf of these students. I have taught for 3 years in the Milton Free Water School District, and in my experience, 48% of the Hispanic population drops out of high school. 26% graduate from high school with the minimum requirements to go on to local jobs, and only 17% will go on to a 4-year college. I am here to talk about the first 2 groups. These 2 groups are forced to help their families support their children and help their parents out. It is community colleges that will make their educational goals come true, like it did me. I come from a migrant family, and I would have never imagined being a teacher like I am today. I also think it is community college that will help these kids achieve their educational dream. I urge you to remember these faces when you start thinking about
or when you start making budget decisions. I believe that community college holds the key to our future success right here behind me. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Tony Clow, Dan Van Slyke, and Skip Hawk. Please identify yourself for the record when you speak.
Hi there. I'm Tony Clough. I'm a resident member. Well, not resident member. I'm a resident of Douglas County and came to Oregon in 1999 with my husband. I had a successful business in Florida, and when I came to Oregon, I wanted to start another business and didn't know the rules that everybody has to run by in Oregon. So I went to the local community college, got hooked up with the Small Business Development Center, and was able to get involved with the Small Business Development Center in creating a business and creating jobs in the local community. Having been a product of a community college in Florida and going on to get my bachelor's degree later in my life, I knew the importance and stressed the importance to you guys that community college not only reaches out to students to create future employees for employers, but now as an employer looking at the community college to help grow my business, but also to create jobs for the local community. The big thing to me as far as an employer in the local community and giving back is now that I volunteer my time to the local college and talking to students to inspire them that, yes, you can go from nothing to something, and it all starts with education. And education is important, and it comes at all levels, from high school level to community college to full universities, and not everybody fits into the full university program. So it's important that our local community colleges be funded and that we can give back at every level. And I ask that you consider to keep funding the local community colleges because they are a stepping stone for many people. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Senator Devlin and committee, my name is Dan Van Slyke. I'm a county commissioner for Douglas County. And it wasn't too many years ago I owned a logging company. And 2 weeks before Christmas one year, I had to lay off my entire crew because the local mill had gone into bankruptcy. We are an absolute timber-dependent community. And so we're in a restoration process of trying to redefine, you know, what we can do economically. The very reason I became a county commissioner was to help rejuvenate our community. We look at our budget just as you look at your budget, and we prioritize everything that we spend money on. And we've decided through the course of time that our partnership with Umpqua Community College is absolutely vital to economic development in our area. There's very few components that we can offer big companies coming into our area, sort of that carrot to get them to land in our particular area. But Umpqua Community College is a major part of that component that we offer. We offer industrial sites that people can come in, they can acquire, they can purchase at a credit program for like $5,000 per new job created. We offer training for their individuals. I sit on a board that deals with state funding coming down for the training programs for their individuals. We have tax abatement programs set up through enterprise zones. So the point I want to make very briefly is that of all the things that we get involved in our area to look at revitalizing our area and our economy, we feel like that Umpqua Community College and its partnership with the county is a major, major component. And so we're investing not only money, but infrastructure. We have some programs that are coming online now with some different truck driving schools and things that are going to involve an expansion, infrastructure expansion. We're going to offer property to help the college. We've funded fiber optics to go out to the college. And so just very briefly, I'd just like to leave you with that if you look at the $440 million as an expenditure or something, you know, we just simply need to keep education going. It goes way beyond that. If you economic vitality is the key to success for the state as a whole, and the key is the community colleges. So I really, really would support the effort in stabilizing that funding source. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. Please proceed.
Senator, members of the committee. My name is Skip Hockey. I'm from Astoria, and I am the executive director of the Astoria Warren Chamber of Commerce, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you. To begin with, I must tell you that I am a member of the MBA, not necessarily the national basketball, but I'm a native-born Astorian. I've been there all my life. When I retired, sold the grocery store, I was the last generation of business that has spent 113 years of continual service to Astoria. The reason I tell you this is because I think I'm qualified to speak as to the value of Clatsop Community College to our county. As the oldest community college in the state of Oregon, Clatsop has become more than just an exceptional educational facility. It has become part of our history and has played a major part in the economy of our county. Thinking back to our childhood, we can probably all remember our parents telling us, no, you can't have a new bike until you learn how to take care of the one you've already got. Well, keeping this in mind, our time for a new campus has surely come. Some of our buildings on campus date back to the early 1900s. My father graduated from high school in one of those buildings, and he's 94 years of age. It served our citizens as a high school for about 50 years, and then in 1957 was virtually condemned as a high school. Guess what happened? Community College, Clatsop Community College stepped in, and going on 50 years has been in that facility. They've done an amazing job of keeping this condemned piece of history functioning as a wonderful institution of higher education. I cannot think of one other piece of real estate in the entire county that has played a greater role in tying our citizens together. It has been so much more than a place of learning. It has driven partnerships within our county that are the envy of the state. The citizens of Clatsop County have been terrific stewards of this beloved facility, but the time has truly come to start anew, and that is why we so desperately need your assistance. We are a small county, and we simply cannot achieve the goals by ourselves. To continue its extremely important role in the lives of our county citizens, we simply need a positive commitment from this committee that can make it happen. Please help us make this dream come true. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you all.
Very well done.
Dr. David Trump, then Tony McCown, and Ann Malos. Okay, please proceed.
Senator Devlin, members of the committee, I'm Dr. David Trump. I am a board member of Rogue Community College, and I appreciate the opportunity to share an educational dream with you. There's a marvelous opportunity to expand the current Rogue Community College and Southern Oregon University partnership for a seamless transition to post-secondary education. Medford is the urban hub of Southern Oregon. This partnership will create a center for closer alliances among the three pillars of education: business, government, and workforce development and education. What can we do as a joint facility? Ease of access to expand articulation to various levels of academic and workforce training in Southern Oregon, K through 12, RCC, and SOU. Greater affordability, shared space, services with low cost and shared facilities. Faster progress to degrees, greater ease of transfer of courses and credits. And lastly, greater integration with business and government across all levels of employment, internships, research, and innovation. This has been a work in progress. In 1996, a white paper was delivered between SOU and RCC upon annexation of Jackson County into the Rogue Community College District. 1997 to 2003, there were regional partnerships funding from the legislature to build RCC and SOU collaborations. In 2005 through 2007, proposed joint rural community college and SOU facility in the downtown metro area. What has happened so far? Enrollment growth, 60% of RCC students study in Medford. 20% of SOU students take at least one class in Medford, and about 300 take all their classes there. There are articulation agreements to facilitate transfer between the two institutions. Since 1997, increasing number of transfers to over 250 students and over 150 students from dual enrollment. The SOU presence in Medford, 947 students for credit, unduplicated, 250 non-credit, baccalaureate completions in business, communication, human service, psychology with minors in community service, a criminology, and a master's in management and education.
Could you please conclude in the next 30 seconds?
Yes, sir. Many joint programs, and there are shared selective services between financial aid and the current programs. Currently, SOU has 7 locations in Medford. We intend to accommodate those in the one facility. The City of Medford vision of 2001 calls for this institution. We request your consideration of funding the joint SOU-RCC building. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Chair Devlin and members of the committee, good morning. My name is Ann Malosh, and I'm the Dean of the Workforce Education and Training Division of Lynn Benson Community College. Much of my division is charged with assisting local businesses in ways that will help their companies build capacity, improve productivity, encourage innovation, and successfully compete in a global economy. The success or failure of every business in our region impacts our local economy and thus the entire state of Oregon. Since major reductions in funding 2 years ago, which cut my staff in half, my division continually struggles to respond to all the requests businesses have of us. We no longer have enough training specialists to work closely with the majority of businesses in our community. To put it simply, we're failing. For example, I've been working with a high-tech firm going through reorganization. They've needed numerous reskilling trainings for their employees. I've been only able to meet 50% of their requests. The impact is significant. If the employees can't get retrained, this company will look outside of Oregon for workers with the skills they need, and our local community will have more unemployed workers. Not only will we see increased unemployment, but we'll also suffer the reputation of being an undesirable place to live. As verified by a recent survey through the Albany-Millersburg Economic Development Corporation, our local businesses turn to our community college first and most often for the services that they desire. Whether it's small business development, contracted education, or support for dislocated workers, LBCC is regarded as the solution. The ongoing barrier to continued and further success is lack of adequate funding. I know at the heart of every decision you make during this session will be your commitment to do what's best for Oregonians, and I am respectful of the difficult decisions ahead of you. But be aware, increasing funding to the community college would ensure far-reaching impact on the health of our college. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Please proceed. Senator Devlin, members of the committee, my name is Tony McCallan, and first I'd like to recognize the 100 or so students, staff, and concerned community members who are sitting outside the House and Senate chambers, some of whom are on floors, who didn't make it into the overflow room. I came along with 20 students from Lane Community College, where I am the student body president. I'm also the vice chair of the Oregon Student Association. OSA is an organization that represents over 100,000 students at the 7 universities, Lane Community College, and Oregon Health and Sciences University. Community colleges are the gateway to college for many displaced workers, non-traditional students, and students like me who didn't really take the traditional route to college. Oregon's 17 community colleges serve all types of students, part-time, half-time, and full-time students. However, over the past 4 years, tuition and fees at community colleges have increased dramatically, making tuition at Oregon's community colleges the highest of the 15 western states. Over the last
4 years, full-time and part-time enrollment has decreased even in the recession when we traditionally see an increase in enrollment. While those are the statistics which I'm sure many of you have heard before, I'd also like to kind of tell a little bit about myself. My story is really common among students. My freshman year in high school, I kind of gave up. And I dropped out of high school and stopped going. I didn't go for my sophomore and junior years. I returned to high school and did complete my education at an alternative high school, but didn't really feel pressed to go to college. I didn't think I could cut it. High school didn't work out for me, so I figured college wouldn't work for me. I kind of went back and forth from job to job and ended up at Monaco Coach, which I kind of saw as my only option in manual labor. After being laid off, I returned to Lane Community College, where I now, like I said, I'm the student body president, have close to a 4-point. But even with the Oregon Opportunity Grant and full funding, my wife and I will still graduate with our bachelor's with about $80,000 in debt. With a child on the way, no other assets, it's just a debt load that make career options very difficult. Her wanting to be a teacher, me wanting to be a public servant.
Can you please close?
Yes. So I just like to really encourage, you know, the committee to support, you know, the $440 million that would keep tuition increases minimal and keep all programs where we're at. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Joanne After, President Preston Pulliams, and Larry Glasscock. Please proceed.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Preston Pulliams, president of Portland Community College, and certainly we thank you, or I thank you, for this opportunity to address you this morning. I want to share with you the opportunities and challenges at Portland Community College and other community colleges, what we're facing. The budget reductions we've experienced for the last 4 years have directly impacted a number of residents of our state. Since 2001, community college enrollments have dropped by more than 75,000 students. These students are students who wanted job training and education so they could get to work, but who have been cut out because of tuition increases or program cuts. Some facts. This is the fourth year in a row of significant budget reductions at our college and certainly other community colleges across the state. The appropriation of the Community College Support Fund for 2001-03 was $440 million. Now we're talking about an appropriation of $416 million for 05-07. We are simply trying to raise that to $440 million to just get back to where we were in 2001. Reductions in state funding are coming at a time of rising costs in all areas of the college. For example, our PERS cost at our institution this year alone, the increase will be $1.8 million. Our colleges are changing because we're less affordable and less accessible to our students. In 2003, we've reduced 32 academic and professional technical programs. This year, we're reducing and eliminating sections in another 25 program areas. These reductions mean cuts in faculty and staff and fewer choices of courses for our students. Tuition has risen by more than 50% from 2001 to 2005. Enrollment at PCC has dropped by 20,000 students in the last 2 years, and this drop is primarily made up of students who are part-time. They simply could not afford tuition or find the classes they need. Our most expensive programs to operate are technical programs, and even though we have outstanding partnerships with hospitals and businesses across our region, we cannot afford to expand these programs. Community colleges are indeed powerful economic engines for Oregon, but we are not able to respond quickly to meet the needs of our individual businesses with adequate resources. We appreciate the tough time the state is in financially, but we ask you to please support full funding for our community colleges. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Please proceed.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, my name is Joanne Apter, and I teach a class called Turning Point Transitions at Lynn Benton Community College. I came to tell you something quite obvious. You can't teach an egg to fly. But in my classes, 80 or so eggs are turned into birds each year. And wow, do those birds go on to fly. Let me describe a couple of eggs to you. Egg number one, Rosalie. Rosalie was a 60-year-old woman referred to Turning Point by the Oregon Employment Department. She lost her position at a lumber mill where she had worked for 25 years. Circumstances left Rosalie with no pension and a lot of anger. Rosalie was immobilized by fear and burdened by a lack of education. In Turning Point, she learned to process her anger and believe in herself. No longer the isolated, stupid woman she had thought she was, Rosalie has now gotten her GED, has taken 3 computer classes, and is currently enrolled in the Medical Office Assistant Program. Egg number two, Teresa. Teresa had lost everything in life that mattered to her, including custody of her daughter and respect of her family. A drug addict, she chose a live-in rehab center over prison. Turning Point was the first class she had registered for at LBCC. She says, I not only learned about myself, but I also learned that I actually enjoyed going to school. Teresa began taking classes the very next term. She has now regained custody of her daughter, has earned a degree from LB, and will start her bachelor's degree in business at OSU this fall. She says, without Turning Point as a foundation, a bridge, I would not have accomplished all I have. I am truly grateful to the class for showing me that I am worth something. I needed this to realize before I could accomplish anything else in life. Turning Point funding is unstable. We live from grant to grant. We need the certainty of a yearly contribution from our college's general fund. We are truly a great example of a small amount of money creating a very large effect on our community. You cannot go on indefinitely being an egg. You either hatch or go bad. You have the power to hatch the hundreds of Rosalies and Teresas in our community, and then, like I do, experience the joy of watching them fly. Thank you for the opportunity to
thank you very much.
Thank you.
Second call for Larry Glasscock. Is Mr. Glasscock in the audience? Okay. Barbara Alshire. Laurie Thomas. And President Johnson, I believe. Or Alex Johnson? Oh, it's not.
You got it.
Wrong Johnson.
Right,
please proceed.
I'm Barbara Absher. Oh, I should greet the panel first, right? I'm Barbara Absher, and I'm from Newport, Oregon. I am a business owner. I own and operate Fishtails Cafe, which is in its fifth year, and has just completed its second expansion, going from seating 20 to seating 60. My involvement with Oregon Coast Community College began about 12 years ago when I decided to go back to school and earn a degree. I was a waitress then. I didn't have very much money, but due to the very reasonable prices of courses at the college at that time, I understand they've risen now, I was able to afford it. And I earned an associate's in the arts and also an associate's in the sciences. And due to those degrees, I was able to procure a better job. I became a manager in one of the local restaurants. And then a little few years later, I bought Fishtails Cafe. When I bought the cafe, I then turned to the college again and joined the Small Business Development Center, where I was tutored and instructed in a classroom atmosphere and then also given personal counseling and tutelage in ways to make my business succeed, which I feel it has. And I owe a great deal of that success to the Small Business Development Center at Oregon Coast Community College. And I'm here today in support of Oregon Coast Community College and community colleges everywhere. And I feel that the community the value of the community college to the community should not be underestimated. Thank you.
Thank you. Please proceed.
I'm Larry Thomas, along with my husband. We own a business called Latitudes in Portland, Oregon. We're manufacturers of decorated apparel, screen printers, embroiderers. I'm here to support full, if not increased, funding for the community colleges. Particularly, our benefit has been working with Portland Community College, where we were awarded, through their help, a grant to have a multifaceted program of learning lean manufacturing and with the added benefit of ESL training for non-native English speaking employees. In our industry, which is apparel and textiles, we're particularly impacted by offshore competition. I feel that the current workforce training provided to us by Portland Community College in conjunction with the current workforce training and Oregon Manufacturers Extension Partnership have provided us the opportunity to become lean and mean, more efficient, and stay competitive in an industry in a worldwide, it's basically a worldwide economy. I think it's critical to our profitability, if not our outright existence. And I think that small business is the backbone of the economy, and I think that continued workforce training is a benefit provided by the community colleges. And a small business such as ours would not have either the resources or their knowledge how to get this sort of benefit without the benefit and the advantages brought to us by the community colleges. Thank you.
Please proceed.
My name is Alex Johnson. I'm representing or speaking on behalf of Clackamas Community College. I'm actually only 16 years old, but I'm a student at Clackamas Community College. I take the college classes along with the Adult High School Diploma Program. In about November, I was in a very bad place with my life in high school. I was basically flunking out of high school, so I just dropped and went to Clackamas Community College. Because of Clackamas Community College, I have turned my life around. I am going to get my high school diploma. I am going to get my Associates of Arts at the same time in 2006. And after that, if you can't read this, I'm joining the United States Marines. That's my goal in life. Because of Clackamas Community College, I'm able to do this. I will get my diploma, and I will be able to join the Marines. And in my high school class, there are so many other students just like me with stories just like mine. And they deserve the same opportunity to turn their lives around like mine, along with other students who aren't yet in this program. And college can't do it without money, and they really need this money.
Thank you very much. Walkie Deser, Rashad Fergan, and Gloria English.
That's good happening.
After this group class.
Hello. Good morning. Mm-hmm. My name is Rashad Furkan, and this is Walkie Pizzer. We're both students and also staff with Chemeketa Community College and also strong members of the community here in Salem, Oregon, and also wherever else we travel. We come here, well, first of all, I would like to come and stress the importance of some of the programs that I'm involved with. For instance, the TRIO Talent Search and Mentor Program, which is sponsored through Chemeketa Community College. And we're allowed to go out to the middle schools and high schools in the community. And we work with students who don't have the resources, or first-generation students, to go to college. So we're out there, and we're really promoting education. And to see the joy in these students' lives when they're able to find out that they can be educated, they can follow their dreams, and they can make a difference, it's just so, it brings joy into my life. And also with Chemeketa Community College, without that there, I wouldn't have been able to find what I love to do, and it's working with children and education and counseling and becoming part in programs in the community like Life Directions, the Salem Kaiser NAACP Youth Chapter as a coordinator and student leader, and also working with Luce and other organizations. Chemeketa has really just helped mold myself and everyone else who happens to just walk through those doors. And I speak, you know, not only just for Chemeketa Community College, but as well as all other community colleges that are out in Oregon. It's just great to be able to go there and see people who have just been broken or just down in their spirits, and just come there and they have a complete turnaround. They meet people who will make a difference in their lives, and they end up touching their lives and other people's lives and making a change. So Chemeketa really it does it. And for me, I would say, you know, never try to cut a program. You know, education should be free for everyone. That's what I would say. You can vote for Chad.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Walkie Desir. I'm a student at Chemeketa Community College. Thank you for the opportunity that I get to speak before you. Imagine, if you will, that you're going to cook a meal for just that romantic somebody. You know, that somebody that just makes you really just wow. You know. Okay, so imagine you're going to the grocery store, and you want her to be intrigued. You want her to have different items, different opportunities. You want her to be able to explore, you know, what you're more about. Okay, well, now imagine that loved one is we, the students, we your future, we who are bear your children. Okay, now imagine that meal. Are you going to do the best you want to do for that meal, or are you just gonna, you know, give him some ramen noodles or something like that? Well, we are the students, and we are your future, and we need the best meal that you can provide for us right now. This is our nutrition. Our education right now depends on how healthy we will be in the future. If you don't allow us to get the right education, then you will allow us to be consumed by poverty, which we don't want, okay? We need to be healthy. So please, make us a good meal. Give us the money that we need so we can educate, and we'll give it back. We promise.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Gloria English. Second call for Gloria English. Third call for Larry Glasscock. Okay. Harvey Matthews, Michael Rose, and Carol Robinson.
Mr. Chair, Robin will never be the same. That's what I'd say.
I
again. Michael Rose.
Chairman Devlin, members of the committee, thank you for having us here today. Associated Oregon Industries is who I'm representing. I'm Harvey Matthews. AOI is Oregon's largest and oldest business association, founded in 1895. It currently has over 23,000 members. These AOI members are overwhelmingly supportive of the community college system in Oregon. It is by far the most popular government entity with which the private sector interacts. I've been sitting outside the House chamber, and I wish you guys had three monitors to see all the people in the overflow chambers. There's a lot of applause, a lot of interaction, a lot of people here today that feel passionately that our community colleges need more attention. Business interfaces with community colleges to a large degree. More than 500 Oregon businesses depend on community colleges to provide customized employee training each year. Oregon's business community depends on its community colleges for basic skills courses, customized classes, and specialized workshops. Many new businesses develop on community colleges' campuses. Small business development centers have trained more than 8,000 small business people, who in turn have generated over 2,600 new jobs. Now, the fastest growing new jobs in Oregon are those that require an AA degree. Those jobs include nursing, agriculture technology, medical technology, website design, etc. And the places where people are going to get those AA degrees, of course, is our community college campus. The capital construction budget in SB 5514 is, I think, the best bill you're going to see this session for immediately creating jobs. While the infrastructure that this funding provides is absolutely critical to our community colleges, the most immediate result will be high-paying jobs that put our skilled Oregonians trained in the building trades to work in every corner of the state. So with that, I'll submit my written testimony and trust that you'll be able to read over that. Thank you very much for hearing our testimony. Please restore the cuts made in the governor's recommended budget and support Senate Bill 5506. And please take a bold step to get Oregonians across the state working again and support Senate Bill 5514. Thank you.
Please proceed. Thank you.
Chair Devlin and committee members, it is a pleasure to be able to sit next to a fellow business association today and testify together in support of community college funding. Last week, my colleague Don Bonder was here before your committee testing.
Ms. Robinson, could you identify yourself for the record?
Carol Robinson, Oregon Business Association. Last week, Don Bonder spoke to you about the support of pre-K through 12 budget that will ensure that schools do not face further erosion and that the number of children served by Head Start does not drop below the level we currently serve, which is well below the number of preschool children who qualify for the program. This position, adopted by the OBA Board of Directors, does not begin to advance the vision our organization holds for a quality system of public education that should garner national recognition and attract both businesses and outstanding employees to our state. It simply asks for a tourniquet. Today I am here representing our member companies who belong to OBA because we believe it Oregon can do better, and do better especially for the young people who we are counting on to be our leaders and our workforce in the near future. During the fall months, our education committee met several times and heard from many experts in the education field, and it's long and depressing. Even I was surprised at the tone of resignation that came from some of the experts and from the governor's representatives about the dismal picture of the next 2 years for Oregon students. We learned that the final presenter that long evening was sharing the community college picture with us, and we learned that we had only begun to understand the full picture of problems that Oregon schools are facing. We learned that Oregon has the highest tuition for community colleges of any Western states. That's currently before any budget changes of the current session. We learned that course offerings have been cut already, sections of classes reduced to save money. And we learned that the number of students able to afford tuition at Oregon's community colleges is shrinking at an alarming rate. Our state policy is strangling the very institutions that produce the workforce that Oregon needs. You've heard a compelling case from many people today, and I just want to add the voice of the Oregon Business Association to that case to support community college funding. Thank you.
Can I ask a question, Mr.
Yes.
Chair? Are the two business associations willing to consider a sales tax dedicated to education, pre-K through higher education?
Chair Devlin, Senator Cortley, Associate Oregon Industries has supported 8 of the last 9 sales taxes, so we would consider that in the future as well.
Chair Devlin, Senator Cortley, I appreciate your question. The Oregon Business Association has been working with a number of entities across the state over the past 2 years, looking at all types of comprehensive tax reform. We sit with AFL-CIO, Oregon School Boards Association, OEA, and a number of other groups trying to find a solution, and would absolutely support campaign and put money behind any kind of tax reform that would provide adequate funding for education.
Excellent. Thank you.
Please proceed.
Michael Rose, a board member to Lane Community College Board of Education, and I appreciate your dilemmas and your frustrations as the different groups of people come before you daily to ask for more funding. However, I am here for that very means, to ask for more funding. The community college system has been undergoing reductions in funding over the past several years. 2 years ago, Lane Community College had to reduce its budget because we were losing a tenth of our total budget, about $10 million. The result of that, we cut programs and we raised tuition significantly, as other colleges have done statewide. The result is very clear. We look around the state, we can see that enrollments have dropped by 10% over the last couple of years. And as we face further funding reductions, that increase of reduction is going to continue. Now, as we cut those programs, we are finding ourselves in a difficult situation. How to maintain a comprehensive community college and meet community needs in light of the lack of funding. And in fact, I'm very concerned that we are going to quickly become like the junior colleges of the past rather than the comprehensive community colleges state statute says we should be. And so to live up to the state statute demands, we need the funding to do it. And the truth is, we need the 440. That is the starting point. We started in the hole this session when the governor's budget, based on miscalculations, shorted this. And so what I see proposed so far is just bringing us up to where the governor's budget should have started, not what we really need. And I'm very concerned that where these cuts are going to come from the technical, professional, vocational programs, because they are clearly more expensive to run. And those are the same ones you say we need for state economic development. In fact, we continually hear how the community colleges are very important for bridging those education gaps and working on economic development. But we never see the action that funds that demand. So that's the frustrating point. And to cut it short, I do have a prepared statement you can read later. It's important to us that you make clear what our funding is apt to be before we have to finalize a budget in June. Because if we go ahead and make the cuts and print the literature, we've already compromised the college and we've started a destructive process. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Final party, Chuck Clemens. Mr. Clemens is the president of the Oregon Community College Association, and he will bring us home. He's the final testifier.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, thank you very much, and I appreciate the role of batting cleanup here, and I'll be very, very brief. I am the current president of the Oregon Community College Association, and I'm a board member at Clackamas Community College in Oregon City. We would like to thank you very much for your understanding and support of community colleges and the vital role that we play in Oregon's economic future. Today you heard testimony from a variety of individuals whose lives and businesses and associations are impacted by community colleges. I know that as you listened to their stories, you thought about the impact that our budget has on individuals, on the state, on businesses, and that these student staff members and employers help put a face to the budget that you're considering. The educational attainment that is an aspiration of these individuals that appeared before you is made possible by the support that you're considering in your budget. You've heard that community colleges have lost about 70,000 students in the past 2 years. We are hoping that you are able to support a budget that will be, in effect, a stop loss on that hemorrhaging, that bleeding of students. We don't want to lose any more. We know there's not enough money available to restore funding to the levels that we have had to serve substantial increases in students, but we just urge you to be sure that we don't lose any more. You're also hearing about our capital construction needs today. All 17 colleges have capital plans that would benefit the educational programs that we provide and also provide a stimulus to our economic recovery. But six of those projects are in the governor's budget, and the six are before you now. These are our top priorities. All 17 colleges are unified in supporting the construction program that is before you, with the top six being our top priorities. We urge you to find a way to fund them. We thank you very much for the time that you have spent being educated about community colleges and for the support that you provide. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Clemens. With that, we have heard from more than 40 individuals. If I include the students and Ms. Marquez, it's more than 50. We very much appreciate your testimony today. As you probably can see, some of my committee members, both House and Senate members, have had to leave and come back at different times. That doesn't in any way say that they have any lower interest in this. They're actually just very busy people that are sometimes called out to other meetings during the same meetings that they are scheduled for. We're all very appreciative of your testimony here today. Senator Gourley was good enough to remind everyone that there is a hearing on the full budget, including everything in education, at the Cascade campus of PCC tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. There is actually a fairly full schedule for hearings on the co-chairs' budgets in various areas of the state, and I would encourage those of you that are from other areas of the state to either send people or attend some of those hearings. Also, the Education Committee next Tuesday will be at Lake Ridge High School in Lake Oswego to take testimony on the education budget, not only K through 12, but community colleges, higher ed, pre-K, and anything relative, and I better mention the Oregon Student Assistance Commission, anything relative to education. With that, I will close this hearing on SB 5506 and SB 5514, and we will be adjourned till tomorrow morning. Thank you.